السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته.
الله أكبر، الله أكبر، الله أكبر، الله أكبر. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله، أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله. أي
إنك لا تخلف الميعاد برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدًا عبده ورسوله. يقول الله جل وعلا في كتابه الكريم: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار، أعاذنا الله وإياكم منها أجمعين. أما بعد. Dear brothers and sisters, have you ever heard someone appeal to their nature to justify their actions? They say, I'm born this way. This is the way I am. I am the way I am. they use their nature, or they appeal to their nature to justify what they do and say. Is there any truth to that claim? Are we just products of natural impulses? Can we justify our actions by saying, well, this is the way that God has made me? What exactly is our nature as human beings? Today, dear brothers and sisters, we want to explore some of these questions by exploring a very important concept expressed in the Quran, the book of Allah Ta'ala, and in the words of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and that is the term fitrah. The fitrah, one's innate nature. The innate nature of human beings. What is the fitrah? What is it not? How is it corrupted? How can it be nurtured? And most importantly, how can it be restored if it has been corrupted? We begin with the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who tells us in Surah Al-An'am, قُلْ أَغَيْرَ اللَّهِ أَتَّخِذُ وَلِيًّا فَاطِرِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Allah Ta'ala says, say, shall I take besides Allah anyone else as a protector when He is the creator of the heavens and the earth? فَاطِرِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Allah describes Himself in this ayah as فَاطِرِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. The فَاطِر is the creator. The root of فَا, طَا, and رَا means to split, and by extension, to emerge. When you break your fast by opening your mouth to put in food, that is called iftar, because you're opening your mouth, something that was previously closed because you were fasting. So the word fitrah comes from these three letters. Fatara, meaning to split, or to cleave, or to crack, or to bring forth. To produce, to create. And so we say, فَاطِرِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Allah is the creator of the heavens and the earth, who caused them to emerge. Elsewhere in the Quran, in Surah Ar-Rum, Allah Ta'ala mentions this fitrah. He says, سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى فَأَقِمْ وَجْهَكَ لِلدِّينِ حَنِيفًا فطرة الله التي فطر الناس عليها لا تبديل لخلق الله ذلك الدين القيم ولكن أكثر الناس لا يعلمون. Allah Ta'ala says, set your face to the deen as a hanif, the in the innate nature from God upon which He originated mankind. There is to be no altering of the creation of God. That is the upright way, however most people do not know. We have to look at these words, dear brothers and sisters, to understand what exactly our Creator is telling us. He gives us a command. أَقِمْ وَجْهَكَ لِلدِّينِ حَنِيفًا. أَقِمْ, establish or set. This means direct oneself to something. Orient your being towards God Almighty. And this is evoked using the word aqim, from which we have qiyam, iqama, istiqama, the words of standing, of establishing, of being upright. Allah says, aqim wajhaka, set your face towards the deen. Why does Allah say face? Because in Arabic, your face, your wajh, refers to the entirety of your being. Your wajh is your essence. The face is the most prominent aspect of the human being. And so here the ulama say it is a kinaya for the being of the human being. Allah is saying, aqim wajhaka, set your entire essence, set your entire being to what? Liddini, to the deen, the way, the path. But in what state should you set your being towards this path, Allah says, أَقِمْ وَجْهَكَ لِلدِّينِ حَنِيفًا. Do it in such a way that you are in the state of being Hanif. What is the Hanif? The Hanif is the person who leans away from idol worship, who leans away from idolatry, who leans away from the profane false paths that exist in the world. So this means the sense of avoiding things that pull you away from the path. Allah Ta'ala is telling us, set your entire being uprightly towards the true way, swerving and avoiding the false ways. And then Allah Ta'ala says, فِطْرَةَ اللَّهِ فِطْرَةَ اللَّهِ أَلَّتِي فَطَرَ النَّاسَ عَلَيْهَا. He says, this is the fitrah of Allah. The fitrah is the natural, inborn disposition of human beings. The word fitrah sounds very much like qibla and jilsa and qitla. These words all have a similar pattern in that they are describing the special manner in which Allah Ta'ala has created human beings. Everything has its own fitrah, and as human beings we have our own unique fitrah that Allah Ta'ala has created us upon. But how exactly do we define this fitrah? What does it really mean? We refer to the words of our great ulama, and we find in the words of Al-Imam Al-Sayyid Al-Sharif Al-Jurjani Rahmatullahi Alayhi in his Kitab Al-Ta'rifat, he defines fitrah by saying that it is al-jabilla al-mutahayyi'a liqabool al-deen wal-ilm wal-akhlaq. He says that it is the natural disposition to accept deen, to accept knowledge, and to accept morality. It is the natural disposition to desire, to seek, to know and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is what the fitrah is. Our innate desire to know Allah and to worship Allah is just as innate as our desire and need to eat and drink and so on. It is the human drive. Human beings will always find a way to worship something. That is the innate drive. And if they do not worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if they are derailed into worshiping other things, their fitrah has been corrupted, but worship is an innate desire Allah ta'ala has placed in human beings. So we see that fitrah is, as it were, the default factory setting, as it were, in which all human beings came into this world. Now the Qur'an, dear brothers and sisters, presents us with the most fundamental aspects of the fitrah. Inclination towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and expressing that inclination through prayer and gratitude and devotion. But the fitrah also points to our moral inclination and our desire for beauty, truth, justice, and doing good. And this is what people today call the moral conscious. The moral compass, if you will, that is rooted in the fitrah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has told us that birr, or righteousness, is husnul khuluq, is good character, while sin is what agitates and disturbs your soul and you would hate others to uncover it. It's that thing that bothers you when you're all alone. You know it's wrong. Even if you still do it, you know it's wrong. That is the fitrah speaking. That is the fitrah crying out when we are overcome with our ego. Allah Ta'ala reminds us in that verse in Surah Rum, فِطْرَةَ اللَّهِ أَلَّتِي فَطَرَ النَّاسَ عَلَيْهَا. This is the innate nature from Allah upon which He created mankind. لا تبديل لخلق الله. There is no altering the creation of God. So the fitrah of Allah Ta'ala is one, and it remains ingrained in human beings. There's no altering it. It remains. But we see that many of the problems with humanity stem from the corruption of this fitrah. The corruption of the fitrah, we can even argue, is at the root of virtually every act of immorality, every corruption, every evil thing. The corruption of the fitrah lies at the root of that. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam says in the famous hadith that undoubtedly you all know, he says, مَا مِن مَوْلُودٍ إِلَّا يُولَدُ عَلَى الْفِطْرَةِ فَأَبَوَاهُ يُهَوِّدَانِهِ أَوْ يُنَصِّرَانِهِ أَوْ يُمَجِّسَانِهِ. He says that every single child is born upon the fitrah. Every child. And it is then his parents which make him into a Jew or into a Christian or into a Magian. This part of the hadith is fairly famous. Most Muslims have heard this hadith, but many Muslims have not heard the second part of this hadith, because the riwayah in Bukhari mentions more. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he relates this hadith, and after citing the words I just quoted to you, he continued to quote the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who says, فَأَبَوَاهُ يُهَوِّدَانِهِ أَوْ يُنَصِّرَانِهِ أَوْ يُمَجِّسَانِهِ كَمَا تُنْتِجُ الْبَهِيمَةُ بَهِيمَةً جَمْعًا هَلْ تُحِسُّونَ فِيهَا مِنْ جَدْعًا. He says, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, similarly, animals are born unbranded. Have you ever found an animal born branded until you brand it yourselves? Animals get branded so we can identify who the owner is. Has there ever been an animal that is born branded? No, that happens after it is born. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu cites this hadith, and after he quotes the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he recited the verse from Surah Rum. فطرت الله التي فطر الناس عليها لا تبديل لخلق الله. He recited this verse. Now, how do we understand the fitrah in light of the reality of people in the process of seeking truth? What does it mean when we say a person is born upon the fitrah? The great scholar and linguist Imam Ibn Qutayba, who died in the year 276 after Hijrah, he points out that in Islamic theology, we do not teach that children are born Muslim, quote unquote. This is what he says. He says that in Islamic theology, we do not teach that children are, quote unquote, born Muslim. Rather, he says, what they are born with is the simple spiritual and intellectual inclination towards Allah and towards good, because Allah Ta'ala took a covenant from every single human being before their creation, saying, أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ قَالُوا بَلَى شَهِدَنَا, asking every single human being, am I not your Lord? And every single human being said, indeed you are. When we say Muslim as a term, this is a lafzun shar'i, haqiqatun shar'iyya. It is a specific legal term. So when we say so-and-so is a Muslim, so-and-so is not a Muslim, we are referring to al-Islam al-Taklifi, the specific Islam that is expressed by the Shahada, by the Iman and the six pillars of faith, and commitment to the commands of Allah Ta'ala in the Sharia of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So when we say Muslim in that sense, no, a person is not born a Muslim in that sense, because there's no taklif, there's no moral responsibility on the child. And what this means, and forgive me for this tangent, what this means is that it is actually incorrect for people to insist on calling converts to Islam as reverts. I know that's unpopular with some people, but I beg your indulgence. This term that people like to throw out, oh, you're not a convert, brother, you're a revert. This is theologically incorrect, and it is bad English on top of that. So, first of all, revert, what does that even mean? Revert is a verb. You do not describe people as verbs. You don't use a verb to describe a person. You don't call people verbs. And when you call a convert a revert, what's happening is the English language is getting altered. And we should aim to uphold accurate language and not impose artificial changes to it and insist that others accept it. But theologically, revert is, it's inaccurate. It's actually incoherent. Because a revert is someone who has returned to something that they used to be. So if you reverted, that means you were something, then you left it, and then you came back to it. No convert to Islam was ever a murtad, an apostate who deliberately left Islam after consciously embracing Islam. They just didn't have the guidance, and Allah guided them. They did not make a conscious act of leaving the religion. So if you say that revert is the correct meaning, because every child is born Muslim and we're all born Muslim, this is theologically incoherent. Forgive my rant. We should strive for accuracy in these things. If you say that a child is just born Muslim, if that child is quote-unquote a Muslim and he's living with his non-Muslim mother and father, does that mean that we are morally obligated to rescue that child? هل يكون المسلم تحت ولاية كافر؟ أبدا. If that child is born Muslim in the legal sense and the child dies, does he get a janazah? Do we have to do the ghusl and the janazah? No. If his parents die, does that mean he's prohibited from inheriting from them? No. Because Islam as a legal definition does not apply to this child. Their fitrah may be intact, or it may be getting corrupted by the parents and the environment, but they're born with the inner disposition. Please forgive this rant, but it's important because the fitrah of Allah Ta'ala is this great gift and we should understand it, because every single thing the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has given us, he has given it to us by Allah's command in order to preserve the fitrah, to enhance the fitrah, to protect the fitrah from corruption. In our great struggle is in regaining this sense of fitrah, of strengthening this sense of fitrah and resisting the forces around us that seek to corrupt and subvert the fitrah of human beings. What is the battle between truth and falsehood except the battle between those who want to preserve fitrah and those who wish to corrupt it? If we understand that, we understand the dangers of allowing our own fitrahs to get corrupted. And we have to look at how that can happen and what we can do to alleviate it so that we have a sound fitrah, a restored fitrah. May Allah preserve and protect our fitrah and shield us from what corrupts our fitrah. Ameen. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Allahumma salli wa sallam wa barik ala Sayyidina Muhammad. لا إله إلا الله سيدنا محمد رسول الله. الحمد لله رب العالمين وأفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم على سيدنا ومولانا محمد الصادق الأمين وعلى آله وصحبه ومن استنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد. Dear brothers and sisters, after speaking about the blessing of the fitrah, the innate nature upon which God has created us, we have to speak about the things that corrupt this fitrah. The greatest And the first of those things that corrupt the fitrah is none other than shaitan and his minions, min al-jinn wal-ins, from human beings and otherwise. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam says in the hadith Qudsi that Allah Ta'ala says, إِنِّي خَلَقْتُ عِبَادِي حُنَفَا فَاجْتَالَتْهُمُ الشَّيَاطِينُ وَحَرَّمَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ مَا أُحِلَّتْ لَهُمْ وَأَمَرَتْهُمْ أَنْ يُشْرِكُوا بِي مَا لَمْ أُنَزِّلْ بِهِ سُلْطَانًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the hadith Qudsi, indeed I have created my servants as hunafa, upright, away from falsehood. But they were derailed. They were derailed by whom? By the shayateen, who forbade them from what I permitted them, and who enjoined them to associate partners with me, for which I have sent down no authority, no sultan, no burhan, no hujjah. So we can read dozens and dozens of ayat in the Quran where Allah Ta'ala describes shaitan's mission to corrupt humanity and lead them astray. A major tool in the arsenal of shaitan is to corrupt the fitrah. Doubts about Allah Ta'ala, worshipping other than Allah Ta'ala, making the halal haram and the haram halal, engaging in things that corrupt the soul and darken the heart, thereby tainting the fitrah. There are many things in his arsenal. And this shaitan and his minions include human beings, shayateenul ins, the devils among human beings. And one of the weapons of the shayateenul ins is perverting the fitrah through inversion, qalb al-haqa'iq. What does that mean? Perversion of qalb al-haqa'iq, inversion means to make what is good seem bad, make what is wholesome seem corny and boring, make what is evil seem good, make what is ugly seem beautiful. Qalb al-haqa'iq, the inversion of realities. To make what is immoral and degenerate seem as progressive and good. That's how they operate. Dear brothers and sisters, go to Surah An-Nisa. In Surah An-Nisa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the dialogue of shaitan himself. And among the things that shaitan promises, he says, وَلَآمُرَنَّهُمْ فَلَيُغَيِّرُنَّ خَلْقَ اللَّهِ. I will most certainly enjoin them. I will most certainly command them. And they will most certainly change the creation of Allah. فَلَيُغَيِّرُنَّ خَلْقَ اللَّهِ. They will most certainly change the creation of Allah. What does that mean? What does that mean to change the creation of Allah? Are you changing the creation of Allah when you get a haircut? No, that's not what it means. According to Tarjuman al-Quran, the prime interpreter of the Quran, Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he says about this ayah that when shaitan says they will most certainly change the creation of Allah, Ibn Abbas says this refers to them castrating themselves, cutting off their private parts. This is what Ibn Abbas says 1400 years ago. This is what it means according to him. Are gender reassignment surgeries anything but the effect of shaitan's corruptions of people's fitrah to the extent that they change Allah's creation by altering their form? That is, of course, one of the great corruptors of the fitrah, shaitan and his minions. Another corruptor of the fitrah is society, social programming. And this extends to parents, society at large, one's friend group, media, education, you name it. social institutions that normalize what corrupts the fitrah. We have to be intelligent, dear brothers and sisters. Do you think shaitan is a guy that is red with horns and a pitchfork sitting on your shoulders telling you to commit personal sins? Is that how we conceive of shaitan? We have to be more intelligent. Many people might think that it's cringe to speak about shaitan and his plots and his minions on a global scale. They think it's conspiratorial, or they think it's giving him too much credit. But there's a disconnect, dear brothers and sisters. A lot of people think that shaitan only cares about getting them to do personal sins, as if he has no grander design. Do you think shaitan has nothing better to do than tell you to do something haram, but has no grander mission? Do you think that he has no involvement in the murder of millions of people? Do you think he has no involvement in corrupting people's sense of their own identity and normalizing perversion by influencing policymakers so they enshrine that evil into law? That is the reality. Shaitan has that operation. People act on these whisperings and they're responsible for what they do, but he has that influence. It is said that the greatest trick shaitan ever played on people is to convince them that he does not exist. How can you as a Muslim see what is going on in the world and think that shaitan does not have his hand in all of that, motivating people, whispering to people, encouraging this one, encouraging that one, puffing this one up? He's behind that. But people make their own decisions and they act on these whisperings, furthering that corruption of the fitrah. Another corrupter of the fitrah, dear brothers and sisters, besides shaitan and besides social programming, is our own pride. Our own pride can corrupt and taint our own fitrah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-A'raf, سَأَصْرِفُ عَنْ آيَاتِيَ الَّذِينَ يَتَكَبَّرُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ. I shall divert from my ayat those who act arrogantly on the earth without right. What this means is that when a person is acting with pride and arrogance, thinking they're better than everyone else, the punishment of this is that Allah diverts them from His ayat. And when they are diverted from the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they no longer see what is right as right. They don't see light as light and dark as dark. They see whatever appeals to their nafs, and this is a great impediment to the fitrah. So what do we do? We have to understand our nature. We have to understand the forces that fight against the fitrah, and realize that because these forces are so powerful, we cannot handle it alone. Because the forces of fitrah are altered by parents and society at large, it is very hard for a child to protect themselves. And as they enter adulthood, they have to make a choice. Because of these powerful forces, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throughout history chose very righteous men and revealed to them the clear life path that would reset the fitrah. And we call them Anbiya and Rusul, prophets and messengers, the chief of whom is Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So the way to reset the fitrah, the way to enhance the fitrah, is to reconnect to the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, realizing that every single thing he brought, his ethics, his spiritual practices, his devotion, his character, his way, everything he brought is in harmony with our fitrah nature. And if we connect to that way properly, we will reset the fitrah bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. Even if you are born into a Muslim family, there's a good chance your fitrah has been harmed just by living in the modern world. So we have to rediscover this fitrah and nurture it and remove what corrupts it and bring what will reestablish its health in order for us to see things as they truly are. Allahumma arina al-haqqa haqqa warzuqna ittiba'a wa arina al-batila batila warzuqna ijtinaba. O Allah, we ask you to show us truth as truth and enable us to follow it, and show us falsehood as falsehood and enable us to turn away from it. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhab an-nar. O Allah, purify our hearts from every quality that distances us from you and from your love and the love of your Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Allah, restore our fitrah and enhance our fitrah and remove everything that is an impediment to a healthy fitrah for us, our family, our loved ones, and the ummah of your Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammadin abdika wa rasulika an-nabiyyi ummi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim تسليما كثيرا بقدر عظمة ذاتك في كل وقت وحين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. وقوموا إلى صلاتكم يرحمكم الله.